And welcome to our show, Geeks Wired Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, technology, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, I'm your host, Bill, and with me is the other host, Anthony.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You might want to move your mic.
Yep. Because
you're... Yeah, that's a thing.
Figured that out.
Levels.
We didn't do that check beforehand.
Ah. We were just talking and it was good enough.
Yeah, it was hard. We had to go look for this episode.
Well, which episode is it?
We just had to look for this episode because it's
404. We couldn't find the episode.
Yeah, we couldn't find it at first. But it almost had to be 405.
So I was thinking about all the things about making fun of this. I was like, episode not found. I'm like, no, I've actually, on episodes we've had issues with, I have named them that. So
it's probably not a good idea.
That's why I decided to name this week, Promise the Episode is Found.
Yeah. But
this week, we are still supporting friend of the program, Chris. So there is link for help going to help him. And support him and his wife are still in the show notes. Go support him. Go support his Patreon. Help him out. He also makes really, really cool artwork. And he's getting ready to release a magazine.
Ooh.
I know. So if you support him on Patreon, you also get access to the magazine. So... Did you hear about this, you know, this number one app that makes short form videos? It was number one in the app, all the app stores like last week.
No.
You haven't heard of this really cool short form video app?
I have, but only because you told me. I know what you're talking about now.
I was really expecting you to just say TikTok.
No, and I was going to, but...
Ah, you didn't even fall for it.
No. Then I remembered the other... Well, I read the other thing.
Yeah.
Because you have it in the title.
I know. It's a bad thing about throwing stuff like that in the show notes. Like, I can't prep surprise.
Nope. Well, you could if I didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah, it happens. Oh. TikTok was 2 weeks ago is number one in the App Store. Last week, it's Zen.
Which is also a Chinese company.
Yes, which is the number one competitor of ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok. Well, not number one. They're a large competitor to ByteDance. And the other thing also is what makes this app so cool is when you... watch videos, when you get your friends to sign up, when you get all the likes and all these other things and get your friends to follow you, you get points and or money. But your points can also be turned into money. So you can basically get money, or you can use your points to get like gift cards or in-app purchases and stuff like that.
I just don't see how that's going to be sustainable.
Well, the company... also ended up getting some funding from a small Chinese company that's also a competitor of ByteDance. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're called Tencent.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are they the ones that own, like, all most the games?
Basically most video games on the market.
What was it, Tencent?
Tencent.
As spelled opposed out. To 50 Cent?
Yep. And they also make movies. They're actually funding a lot of the movies that are out there. They're a big company. So playing around with the app, I just had to. I like my pop culture. I like my, evolution of social media.
You gave in?
I gave in. Of course I gave in. Like, come on. I've been on TikTok since it was Musical.ly.
Oh, yeah. That was a thing.
That was a thing. before they got bought. So it's Zen is interesting, and it's super, if you're bored and want to make like a couple extra, it really feels like a couple extra bucks on the side. You know, people are like, oh, I made like thousands of dollars. Like, yeah, I mean, you might have been a front end and you may have been able to get pull a bunch of people in and make the money off of it. I feel like it's slowing down and it's so-so.
So what this kind of reminds me of, where that person made thousands of dollars. You know those signs you see on the side of the road that are like, make $20,000 in a single month, all from home. And they're written on the most, like, the poorest signs and magic marker.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, good sell there.
It also reminds me of all the games, the advertising in games or even on social media. It was like, oh, if you play this game, I made like thousands of dollars just by spinning things.
Yeah.
It's like, eh, no. So this, it piqued my interest for a bit. Same TikTok things. It worked out fairly well. I was kind of like, okay, this could be interesting.
So it sounds like there was a deal breaker somewhere.
Oh, that's why I'm totally getting to it.
Okay.
The story, man, the story. But I start going through, and I even like a couple of videos. And then I see this one video, and I'm like, I'm not totally sure about this. Like, is this, you know, let me look in the details. And just, you know, like with Reddit, TikTok, the others, when you have like questions about a video or questions about a post, you look in the comments. People will tear things apart. People will add comments. The creator may even comment on it. Like, oh, this is how things happened. And all the comments were, follow me for a chance to win $1,000.
Oh, boy.
Made money off of this. You know, everything about, you know, like my videos. Nothing about what the video was. I'm like, well, that really sucks, actually.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm like, all right, so I'm expecting that to become a thing. So I basically ignore the comments from that point on. And I start going through, and I see some videos I like. And I'm like, well, some people post videos. That means the creator posts these videos. That means they post lots of videos like this, right? Not in Zen. In Zen, they steal a lot of the videos like that. I found people that were pulling stuff from YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, and putting them into their stuff so that people, they can get the likes, so they can make more money. Nice. So that, yeah, it is the best of the best type of idea, but it's, you know, the water hose of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm done. And I walked away, finally, realizing this was not going to... Actually, after I reported like a dozen videos, going like, you're not the owner of that. You're stealing people's creative stuff. No, that's not fair. Become creative. Go make something. Don't just like try to make money off of somebody else's. Blatantly do it.
So... this is the internet, though. When you say this is mine, this is mine.
But, like with TikTok, if I post a song or a sound and you take it, that's fine. That's what it's there for. But when I post a video with my face, with who I am,
mm-hmm.
and you take it, and you don't even like make a fake account with my face on it, you just blatantly like make an account with a bunch of like other people's stolen content, it's not quite the same as this is mine, no, this is mine mentality. This is, like I said, this is the water hose of this is the best of this related to this content, and I'm making money off of it, not them.
Yeah.
So I see Zen kind of dying off that, and also once Tencent and Zen's parent company, I forget what their name is, Douyin. Once Douyin and Tencent stop funding this, I don't think anyone's going to stick around.
Probably not. There's been a couple of apps that are apps. Yeah, apps, services, whatever, websites. There's been a couple that have been like this.
Mm-hmm.
Where they...
And they may, like, cancel a bunch of people's accounts, too. So they may actually, like, for all the stealing, all them paying out for... You know, because they actually, that's a way to report people. It's like, this is not their product. They are taking this from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
After all those accounts get shut down, they're not going to have anybody left. Or after everyone makes their $10,000 or whatever, they might go, well, this is, you know, either create bots to do it all or just walk away.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. How did you hear about Zen?
Zen?
Zen.
Pop culture. This is stuff I look at. And plus, it was number one in the App Store.
Did you duplicate this card?
Good possibility. Hey, look at that. That is exactly it.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if I threw it in there, and so I threw it in there again.
It's all good.
So look at that. And it's gone.
Yay.
Haha, magic and keyboard shortcuts.
Where's that 5G thing?
Right at the top. Is that the one you're talking about? Or are you talking about other 5G things? There's a lot of 5G.
I don't even see what you're talking about.
Here, look at that. Done. Just moved it over.
Yeah, that thing. Thing.
All right. Apparently my monitor is bigger than yours. Your poor little Mac.
No, I'm not on a Mac.
No, your poor little netbook.
Nope. It's my Windows computer. What resolution's your monitors?
Netbooks or Windows computers? Not, I didn't say Chromebook. I said netbook.
All right.
Go back like 10 more years. See, my resolution.
They don't even make netbooks anymore.
Yeah, they're called Chromebooks now. I know. I'm just full of them. Ha ha.
You find out yet?
Yes. 256. 2,560 by 1,440.
Oh, you got those kind.
Yes.
Yeah, I just have full HD.
You just have the 1080.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what's my other monitor at? It's probably the... Mine is 1920 by 1080.
And so two of my monitors are full HD. The other one is... Because I have three hooked up right now. 1680 by 1050.
Yeah.
It's a 16 by 10 monitor that I think was manufactured in 2007.
Wow, that was like...
Still looks good. It's one of those nice Dell, like, one of the nice Dell's, like, quote-unquote cinema monitors.
Mm.
It's nice.
Well, it's one port. It's important. As long as it works for you. And as long as you don't put it against a monitor that is much better. Because as that happens, usually you want to upgrade everything.
Nah, I like it. Right now it's tilted sideways. Oh. So it's in like portrait mode.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Great for reviewing your Instagrams on your computer.
Mm-hmm. Now, I use it for just, that's where my chat application goes normally.
Ah.
The only thing is it's kind of over to the right a little bit too much. So it's kind of hard to look at it. For me. Because it's annoying to turn my neck sometimes.
I understand. I usually throw mine on the right. Because I'd look left. I'm an oddball. Most people look right more than they look left.
I look left more.
Okay, we both look left, and I throw on the right. So unless I'm, like, needing all three monitors at the same time, my chats go on the right, my email goes on the right, so I can get to it when I have the time. It doesn't pull my attention.
Yeah.
Because you need to work, and if you have stuff that are always pulling your attention, it sucks.
So you know how I constantly complain about Teams just always constantly flashing when you get a notification on the taskbar?
Yeah.
I found a way around that.
So turn it off.
Well, no, you can't turn that off. Well, you can turn off Teams, but I can't do that.
You can turn off notifications.
It doesn't matter. Well, okay, yeah, I could turn off notifications, but that's also not going to work for me.
You can put it into do not disturb mode.
I have done that before. But no.
Okay.
So the taskbar in Windows 10, you can set it to where it will have the applications on all the monitors or only on the ones that the monitor, like the application's at. And I used to hate that setting, but I like it now because then it doesn't, like, it's only on that far monitor over there. And even though my chat notifications come up over here, they go away.
On the far left one or the center one?
Yeah, my far left one is the main one, so that they show up there. I kind of wish they didn't, but I wish I could show like tell it what screen they'd show up on.
Or you just make your far right one the main one.
No, that wouldn't work.
Why not?
Mm-mm.
All you're doing is telling it what the main one is, and you put everything else where it belongs.
Because the far right one is a... It has a very skinny resolution when you have it on portrait mode. And the taskbar, like, it wouldn't give very much room for the applications.
Okay. I see that.
Yeah, it's no bueno. I could put it on the center one, though. Though I do wish I could just tell the notifications to come up on the top right. Then I wouldn't care, because it's more out of my line of sight.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh well, enough ranting on that.
Yeah. Well, see, I can't do that. The vertical monitor, even with chat, I just snap them to the sides.
So, mine, even though people can't really see this, but I guess I could.
You'll just have to explain it.
Yeah.
Well, for the audio.
For the audio. So, you got your left one over here.
Yeah, you got left monitor.
The middle one.
Okay.
And then the portrait one.
Yeah.
So, the portrait one is one that I hardly ever use. Like, again, it usually chat goes there, and it's usually just, it'll go there up until I need to actually use it, and then I'll click on it and then use the hotkeys to move it to another monitor.
Yeah.
So, it's just there to look at, or right now it has my Spotify on it. That's it. That's usually all it's for.
So, Alex used to code like that.
Yes, for coding it's nice, especially if you're looking at logs.
Yes.
But I also, I can't do it either. Like, I've tried. A lot of monitors, actually, the viewing angle sucks when it's in portrait mode. Like, if you move it all to the left or right, you can see the color changing, and that just bothers the heck out of me. Some people are fine with it, but I can't do it.
Or it dims.
Yeah, it dims because the viewing angle, it wasn't, because most people don't look at it at the monitor from the bottom.
What?
And when you have it in portrait mode, that's what you're doing. And so, like, you can have it to where, like, you tilt them to where, like, one's this way and then the other one is the opposite way. So one's set to portrait mode, the other one's set to portrait mode flipped. Then when you're in the center, it looks kind of okay. But again, if you ever move at all, the right one is either going to shift or the left one's going to color shift. And again, some people are cool with that, but I can't do it. It bothers me too much. Yeah, portrait mode's cool if you can do it. And then if you write a lot too, I think portrait mode would work.
I can see that.
Because you can see a lot more of your content.
So, I'm stepping back a few minutes.
The 5G thing?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we can talk about that.
We threw it in the show notes.
I know. I don't know a lot on it. I meant to read this article more, but basically there's a $350 anti-5G device. And guess what?
It is garbage.
Well, obviously, but it's even more garbage than you'd think. It's just a 128 megabyte USB stick. I didn't even know they made those anymore. Like that capacity.
You really would be surprised. If you go to like events,
most of the time that's at least 2 gigabytes. Because that's actually, I think that's cheaper for people to get.
Yeah, I do believe it is, but you also forget some of these still have, some places still have leftover chips that they need to get rid of. And I've been to some that have given out like 64 megs.
Or, really?
Yeah. And it's like, what? It's full of the document that they wanted, and that is it. Super spare, bare minimum. They don't want to use it for anything else. And I'm like, why? And I've gotten like HP, I think, gave me, 256 gigabyte?
Megabyte.
No, gig. No, they gave, was it that big?
No, I don't think it was that big. That's a really big thumb drive.
Oh, it was huge for, it might have been a 64. It was big. Like, I was like ridiculously impressed on how big it was. But we're talking HP, you know, the people who make those chips.
Yeah,
so if they're going to do anything like that, they're going to, yeah.
And, at some conventions I've been to, there's pens that will come apart in the middle, and they have a USB stick on, or USB chip in the middle of them. I think one I got was, it was either 2 gigabytes or 4 gigabytes, and all it had was a docket, like a PDF on it.
Oh, well.
So you could use it for other stuff too, so that was cool. Like, otherwise, the pen sucked, but the drive was good. But back to this 5G thing, like the company claims that it's an always-on device, and if you have it on your person, there's like a 4-meter radius around you that is protected from the 5G signal. But if you have it plugged in, then it's all of a sudden at 20 meters around you. That's good.
And what tracking software does it come with when you plug it into your, like, keyboard loggers?
Oh, maybe, actually. Because like, just because it's just a USB stick doesn't mean that there's not anything else on it. But it's probably just a USB stick. It's still ridiculous. Like, it's this much money. It's just a cash grab.
Yeah. If you believe it works, it doesn't mean it works.
No. I'm like, I don't know. The placebo effect is a thing, but not for this.
Yeah.
Not for physical stuff in the world.
So the article you linked was Ars Technica. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I see. Because everyone, I've seen some others, so the BBC bought one and did a teardown.
Okay, what did they find?
Well, that's what it is. That everyone's linking back to the BBC. So that's what it was. Is that it is a...
Oh, fair enough. Let me click on the...
Yeah, the BBC link inside of this.
You blocked me going there, so I'm not going to go on it.
I blocked you?
No, you block, like the extension you block.
Because
it's a tracking URL.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of like the electronic EFF's anti-third-party stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, here, look at that. Now it's in the show notes, so you can just go there directly.
Ooh.
Of course, that means you also need to make sure that your third-party tracker doesn't block from our show notes.
Oh, it won't. It doesn't matter. Like, if it legit goes there, then that's going to work.
Yeah, it's not impressive.
The holographic graphic is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Other than that, though.
And the idea of them... Yeah, they were saying that because apparently it's 339 pounds, British pounds. They were saying that they rejected the idea of selling a 5-pound product for more than 300 pounds.
Yeah. Which is a ridiculous markup.
Just a smidgen. You were also saying that they ended up having some lawsuits brought against them for selling a...
Well, I think there's just a investigation.
Oh.
But I don't remember. I think that was in the Ars Technica article, but Again, I didn't read through it too terribly far. I gotta find it again.
And even if this thing does work, you can't own it in certain places. That's the other thing. I'm surprised that they even tried selling it in Britain, because I thought Britain had similar laws that we do, where the FCC, like if you actually bought this product in the U.S. and you used it and it literally worked, you might go to jail.
Or get fined a lot, at least.
Yeah. The FCC would actually, like, you are messing with their communication system.
Yeah, and so there was a similar thing. I don't remember if this was in California or Texas, but somebody had, like, a cell blocker, like a 4G cell blocker. Maybe it was 3G. But he did this, and he would have it on in his car when he was going down the highway because he got tired of seeing people texting and driving, which, fair enough.
Yeah.
But that you're literally blocking a signal spectrum, which you're not supposed to be blocking. And they only realized that he was doing it because they kept getting, like, I think Verizon or AT&T kept getting calls that about there being, like, dead zones in that spot, and there shouldn't have been dead zones there. And so they, I think they eventually just stuck someone there to just watch whenever it started, like, the dead zone happened, and then they caught him. But I don't remember. But that is, I think, the only cell or signal blocking story that actually works. device. That, yeah. I don't think he bought it, though.
Well, you can make these things, and you can, you can buy them. You usually buy them through clandestine places or some hokey places.
Mm-hmm. You can buy them, and it might also just be basically a repurposed rebroadcaster that the cell phone companies used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might just be that, and then instead of broadcasting out the signal, it just broadcasts out an empty signal. Yeah, that is all on that. That's all I got.
All right. Still interesting.
Indeed.
Yeah. Let's see. So we have... Yeah, maybe we'll wrap up with... I guess we'll see what goes with this. We talked about what people were learning for programming languages last week or the week before. Now, there was a study done on Stack Overflow.
And this is the most loved languages.
Yes. Which is Mandarin. Or French. One of the two. They just sound good.
We're talking about programming languages here. Not linguistic ones.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, sorry, back to this, yes. So there is Stack Overflow did a popular Q and did their popular annual survey where they asked 65,000 developers about themselves and their programming habits and compiled this information together. And they have their top favorite programming languages. Ah, man. Actually, I forgot about this and I kind of wanted to message Ted about this.
What?
Number 13.
What, JavaScript?
No, it's even better.
I sculpted it already.
It's the argument on the thing that is a programming language that that has the word language in it that everyone argues is not a programming language.
HTML.
Yes. Actually, they even clumped together HTML/CSS.
Because they're the same. Like, I mean, they're not the basically. Same, but you... No. They're not you the same, but you use them for one another. Like, you can't just use CSS, whereas you could just use HTML. It's just not going to look pretty.
Yeah, you're not going to get far with just one. Well, doesn't HTML5 kind of like... No, actually, HTML5 ends up getting rid of JavaScript, doesn't it? Or
I mean, it makes it less Java. Required. It's JavaScript. Okay. You can still use JavaScript, and most places still do, but...
At least for a little longer.
I think it's going to be around for a lot longer than just a little longer.
I might have to hunt down an old story for you about that.
I just say that because, like, a lot of people hated it at first. And, like, they, a lot of places even, like, a lot of people disabled JavaScript loading at all. But if you do that on most websites, they just won't load. Or they'll load, but they'll be very broken. Especially if they're, like, single-page apps that run on Angular or Vue. Or I think even React, maybe.
JavaScript. What did the internet used to run on?
So there was Java, because there were Java applets that could run. That was mostly for games and for business applications, apparently. There was also Flash.
That
Flash is straight up dead. Like, you can't run Flash anymore. All the browsers will reject it. You have to use an older browser if you need to use it. Same with Java. So, like, if you want to play RuneScape, you used to be able to just load it up in your browser. You can't do it anymore. You have to download a client that they give you, which is basically just a... It's a browser that still has Java enabled on it.
It felt like they were coming out with something. They actually launched that they were going to kill it officially by, like, the end of this year.
Are you talking about, like, Microsoft's version? Like Silverlight?
No, I thought it was one of the big ones. I don't know. I can't find it now.
I mean, Silverlight was kind of big. I think Netflix used it.
Yeah. So among the languages, there's the commons, the expected. There's ones that are less popular, I thought were less popular, but apparently...
What one did you think was less popular?
Scala.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Scala on there.
It is, you know, the 14th one. And then I'm actually slightly surprised that Bash PowerShell is not a little bit higher, because it does things for you. We just...
It does things that most people would rather use something else.
Oh.
Given, well, like me, I would rather program in like Node or something if I'm doing something. But if it's just a one-off thing or something that clearly works better with Bash or PowerShell, yeah, I'll use it. But it's usually, especially PowerShell, it's kind of a pain in the butt to work with.
And I'm surprised SQL's not higher on the list.
I'm actually surprised SQL's on there at all.
Really?
Yeah.
SQL is so awesome for database. And especially database. That's the other thing. Databases, man.
I mean, a lot of people, like with the ORMs, a lot of them probably don't even understand how the database works.
Oh.
ORM is a way that... Yeah. Is a way to interact with the database without actually programming the SQL statements. Just for people who don't know what that means. And it can even... If you got a good one, it can even like generate all the tables for you instead of having to create SQL to generate them for you.
Okay. And use like a WYSIWYG style.
Kinda, but a little more structured.
Yeah. See, JavaScript, obviously. I'm still surprised.
I'm surprised. Higher. Yeah, I expected it to be higher. Higher than Swift, at least.
Yeah, I know Swift is the next one, but that's Apple's, and Apple's been pushing that one.
Oh, they have, and it's a decent language, but I just thought it was so niche that it would be higher up.
And C#, obviously. Yeah,
I thought C# would be higher, too. I'm surprised Dart's ahead of it, honestly.
Actually,
I haven't heard anybody programming in Dart anymore, and I thought Google was abandoning it.
Especially where they have, what, Go now?
Yeah, Go.
See, then Julia. I have no clue. What is Julia?
I mean, I've heard of it a lot, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, well, apparently it's a dynamic language used for scientific and numeric computing applications.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Maybe I have heard of it. That sounds familiar. And yet,
the other thing is, it sounds like it would be, I don't know, maybe used for quantum computing, but I'd expect Python instead of that completely.
Well, there's also Q#, too.
Oh, yeah. So we had Go. Or no, wait, Go Q#. Oh, not on the list.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Not yet.
I don't know that it ever will be.
Yeah. You have Go, which is Google's other one.
Mm-hmm. And Kotlin, which is developed by JetBrains.
JetBrains is IntelliJ and a lot of other things. But IntelliJ is probably the more popular thing that people may know of.
Yeah, or WebStorm or any other IDEs, really.
Obviously, Python, third place.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense. And then TypeScript, holding on to second place.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know.
It's kind of weird that TypeScript and JavaScript are, well, I guess it's...
They're different languages. TypeScript compiles down to JavaScript, but it's still, they're still different.
And number one
is Rust.
Which I thought was Microsoft's. I didn't realize it was Mozilla's.
No, it's Mozilla. I didn't know what it was either. Like, I've been hearing a lot about it.
I've heard about it being developed for a long time. That's what I heard. Microsoft was throwing a bunch of stuff into it. I think that's why I thought it was Microsoft's. Like, I've been hearing about Rust in for a couple of years at least. It's been growing in popularity, and it has been the highest supported language for at least a year or so. People are going in, making sure everything is going to work with it, doing a lot of the back end, making sure updates are going through. So there's a lot behind Rust, and there was a moment I was like, oh, this is super popular, people love this. And I was like, I bet I never actually sat down to learn it, because I'm like, this is going to die, and I'm going to be sitting on knowledge of a dead language. Now I probably should learn it.
Maybe. It's like any other language, though. Like,
it'll come, it'll go.
Well,
it'll evolve.
Well, it'll either evolve or stay around for 60 years.
Hey, but if it stays around for 60 years, that means, you know, just like with these programming languages that food stamps and the voting system's all based off of from, like, the 1900s, all these old-timey programmers are like, hire me. I'll come in, fix your stuff. That'll be at least $2 million for a week's worth of work.
Because
I'm the only one you can hire.
I don't know that they can charge that much, but...
They're charging some ridiculous... Maybe not that high. But, no, well, businesses... If they're coming in as a business, they're charging some ridiculous rates.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And they can, because nobody studied the languages anymore.
So, I heard the story that C# was originally an extension of Java. And I'm trying to find the story to back that up. So, maybe it was always
just... Oh, shares trait with Java.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's basically, like, syntactically, Java and C# are more or less the same. Like, C# was a little more strict, but even now, like, they have, like, you can do soft-typed variables in C# now. You can also do that in Java as well, where you don't have to be, like, string var name equals string. You can just do, like, I don't remember what it is in C#. I feel like it was just var, but you can just do whatever that word keyword is, and then the variable name, and then set it to something, and Java, it's similar, which is a nice thing in my opinion, just because the type is inferred from what you set it to.
Yeah.
No reason to declare it twice.
Nor all the times.
Yeah. Like, it's just being too verbose at that point.
Well, it's better than JavaScript. Just don't declare it and hope it doesn't break.
No, you can declare it. You can change it. You can do whatever you want with it.
Oh, no, but you also can not declare it and work with it as is.
What do you mean by not declare it?
Meaning, like, whether you just state its name or what it is equals such and such, and you hope that it realized that you were talking about a string or a variable or whatever. You're just like, here's words, they equal other words or things.
Yeah,
and I'm going to use them, and you're not going to break, right?
There's a reason why that JavaScript has... three equal signs instead of just two. Like, you can do two, but it's not going to always work.
Yeah.
And I actually found out that Gosu, which is the language that I use at work, has triple equal sign equality checking too. I'm not sure why. I've only had to use it once where I overrode the equals method. And I really wanted to make sure it was equal without going into a Stack Overflow. But yeah, that's how I found that out. Hmm. I can't find that story, by the way.
Yeah, I'm just finding a bunch of stuff with Microsoft creating it. I was looking for it, too. I was trying to see like where'd it come from. And basically, Microsoft created it, which also makes sense where it works really well with the .NET framework.
Oh, I knew they created it. Yeah, I knew they created it.
Also, Microsoft.
It's been around for a while, 20 years.
Let's see, 88?
No.
Microsoft C-sharp. First used C-sharp in 1988.
Well, on the side of here, where it says, on Wikipedia at least, it says first appeared 2000.
No, I see that. First appeared in 2000, but also in that wiki article, it says Microsoft first used the name. Well, I guess they used the name.
Oh, yeah. No, I have heard of that, but.
And it could be like, it's like Rust has been around for a while. It may have been that evolution, them working with it and, you know, kind of building up the backgrounds of it. Let's see. What does. Let's see. Oh, I lost the link. There's also.
There's C-.
Well, if you have a plus, why not have a minus?
No, the minus isn't. Like, it's a real language, quote-unquote real, but it's more for teaching people how to build compilers. It's not really it's not a language that you'd program in for realsies. Yeah, so it's designed to be generated mainly by compilers for maybe I'm wrong. Wouldn't surprise me, but.
Yeah, you don't say.
I can probably find it, but I don't want to put more dead air in here.
All right.
So, we'll just wrap that up. You want to talk about your math problem thingy?
Nah.
Okay.
We'll wrap up the episode.
Okay.
Got out a smidgen early. Keep it a little short for this week. Just a smidgen. So, hey, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get? Or did you hear about the chicken when he was looking at lettuce? Do you know what you get when a chicken looks at lettuce?
I don't.
Chicken sees a salad.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yummy.